Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour going into the show tonight, Thanksgiving 2011. We have managed to crawl through another year here. I would say crawl. That includes socially, financially, politically. Good grief. This world is in such dire condition due to the buffoons, selfish, greedy, power-hungry morons that are running this world. And it doesn't start to make people wake up until it affects them. So you're starting to see people in the street not just protesting, but they're actually starting to do things. I'll be talking a bit through the middle of the show about a topic that is really affecting all of us. It's called slavery, the servitude of people. And so I've come up with some interesting definitions. Well, just stay tuned. I'll be talking about that. We're dealing with Thanksgiving here, so I'll have a quick comment on that. Sorry about last week's show being taking so long to post on the web page. I will try and keep that updated a bit better. I believe it was up until Monday before it was actually posted, and I know many people listened during the weekend. So I do apologize. I was somewhat on a mission, and so anyway, precluded my ability to get that show posted. But I'll try and be better with that in the future. I know, as I say, many people listen during the weekend at all hours, and that's the power of the internet, the power of, first of all, the radio show can be listened to around the world during the live broadcasts, and then also on the repeat broadcasts Friday night and Saturday morning. So, and also if you're not familiar with those time stations, etc., just look at the webpage, jmccsci.com, and it has all the information there when the show airs live. But of course, it's always archived, very easy to download the show. It's free. Of course, it cannot be reproduced or replayed any place but people in terms of commercial radio. People download this and play it on their MP3 players. I know truck drivers that listen to it on their on an MP3 player during the week while they're driving. I know one just some comments I've gotten from listeners. One man says that on Saturday night the kids are asleep, he can pull the show down, and that's when his time is to listen to it. So I know this show gets listened to. We have a pretty high rate of listenership just on the archive show. So that's great. I may have a special guest next week. It's still somewhat in the planning. We'll see. But stay tuned. And if it happens, I'll be trying to announce that, get the word out. So anyway, next week's show, hopefully a special guest interview. Today is Thanksgiving, and I know a lot of people are with their families, so there may be a lot of new people listening to this show. What I try and do on this radio show is bring real scientific topics to the general public in terms that you can understand. There are many, many professional scientists who listen to this show. I know a lot of them personally, and I know there are thousands and thousands of professional scientists around the world, possibly tens or even hundreds of thousands, who constantly listen to this. They are entrapped in government, basically, ownership of science, and they don't have any place to go. That's their career. They've studied to get to the PhD level, and there's the ownership of science is one of the things I try and talk about, making sure people understand that the science they hear, the science you see in the news, is all highly political. It's all highly controlled. It's all very much owned. And there is an entire layer of science that you never see or hear about above that. The higher layer of science I call Tier 1 science, And that is also owned, which makes it a pretty scary scenario. The top science you don't hear about as the public, it's owned by the controllers, who are basically the European banking community that controls our own Federal Reserve, which controls the federal government in the United States. The national debt, something that's been in the news a lot lately, is basically a debt on thin air, a debt of interest that can never be paid off. So you and your kids' kids are all enslaved to this debt, this fictitious debt, when the original congressional mandate was for Congress to create the money. Creation of money basically, in a sense, comes out of thin air. You can base it on gold. You can base it on commodities, cars and refrigerators. You can base it on many, many things. But when you base it on thin air from bankers from a foreign country, there's one guaranteed result, and we're starting to see that. The wars, the taxation, all of that linked together in a cycle of never-ending debt and destruction. And then, of course, the rampant destruction of people's lives. It's starting to affect everybody, including the wealthy. Right now, the travel season should be beginning. A lot of people are celebrating Thanksgiving, and normally many people afterwards would begin traveling. The kids have vacation, it's starting to be winter in the northern states of the United States and in Europe. People would be starting to travel, and that's not happening this year. So that's telling you that even the rich people, the so-called rich or the retired people, are guarding what they have left. So what do we have to be thankful for this Thanksgiving? I think this Thanksgiving, the most important thing we have to be thankful for is information. Information is something that has never happened in the world before. The ability to listen to other people talk, to communicate, hear other people in other countries. Back in the 50s and 60s, during the Cold War era, everybody was sure that those Russians were all ready to bomb us out of existence. And they were sure that we were ready to bomb them out of existence. Well, why? Well, the people couldn't communicate. We were held back. They were held behind an iron curtain, and we thought that the people in Russia were against us and vice versa. Well, it simply wasn't the case. The people over there had no more bone against us than us against them. But the politicians, the people who control the world, managed to keep that facade going. Finally, the internet broke through. And it started out with just little chat pages on the internet. Bulletin boards, they were called. You could post a message, a little message, from your home computer. I had a laptop. It was my first computer a long time ago. And eventually, the power of the internet, it's something that businesses started using. But now the internet is major to just about everybody's lives in every country of the world. So communication, and I want to add to that right now the communication companies, especially the cell phone companies, the mobile companies, T-Mobile, Verizon, Sprint, all of the biggies, AT&T, have the public held hostage. They have gotten in the middle of communications and are charging. They have people held hostage, literally. All you need, literally, from a technological standpoint, from a scientific, purely scientific standpoint, the only thing you need is a decent internet connection, something I discovered this past week. Well, first of all, let me start at the beginning. You can, and this technology has existed for decades, you can digitize your voice. It takes about half of a 56 kilobit line or data connection to carry a voice conversation. It's just simply digitizing your voice and passing it back and forth. So now people have T1, 1.5 megabit or multiple 4, 5, 6 megabit connections, many of them wireless, Some are DSL at your home or various different types of internet connections. This is the basic physical connection that goes into the your internet provider. But what's happening? What's happening is the phone companies, especially the wireless carriers, are blocking your ability to carry a voice conversation on the internet, on your connection. They're forcing you to buy a voice connection before you can get a data connection. On your data connection, you should be able to easily carry a voice conversation, but they're blocking it so you can't. But basically, the way of the future is simply you have a data connection, you pay for it, and that's all you need. Whether you're in Zimbabwe or Massachusetts, you should not have to pay for more internet connection. There should be one universal internet, and that's what it is, the World Wide Web, and you can literally connect in any place with your account. This idea that you belong to Sprint or T-Mobile or Verizon or AT&T is ridiculous. These companies were assigned when the breakup of AT&T happened back decades and decades ago. When that judge made his assignment, he said, you companies all have to work together so that there's interoperability. That was one of the main requirements, and these companies are not doing it, and nobody in government is holding them to that task. They basically operate the FCC. So they're holding people hostages. People are paying outrageous amounts of money for phone and internet and text. There's no reason, there is absolutely no reason for all of those services to be separate. Why should a text message be a separate service than voice, than data? Because it all goes out on the internet as data. It's all digitized. It's absolutely absurd. Your connection, you should be able to dial anybody in the world. There should be no long-distance calling. There should be no long-distance charges. Let me rephrase that. I said, mistakenly said, that there should be no long-distance calling. What I meant to say, there should be no long-distance charging because you're on the internet. If you go to South America, Africa, Europe, whatever, there's that other person there simply should pay for their internet connection, and you should be able to call. You should be able to have multiple calls coming in at once, connect them together. This is the way it should be. And the price for that service should run around $35 a month per person. Each person should have their own internet connection, so it's their own private internet connection. And so a family of four would pay about maybe $120 a month for phone, data, wireless connection. Or if you have it at your home, it should be coordinated with your home system. So when you're at home, maybe you have a line DSL. But the companies that are in business today basically have the public hoodwinked into thinking that you have to pay these outrageous prices and pay for these packages when none of that is required at all. Well, it's just another way of fleecing the public for a service. Communication should be the absolute most fundamental service provided. It's like heat in the northern states. You need it. It's not an option. If you don't have it, you cannot live there. You need gasoline. Another way that the government is subsidizing the vast, record-breaking profits of gasoline and oil companies, and they're getting their product for free from public sources. This all started, of course, back in the early days of the country when the timber barons, the iron barons, the people that were allowed access to resources were given controlling rights to that. They paid literally nothing, and they reaped all of the benefits. They used basically slave labor to extract these minerals and timber or whatever it was, and then were able to sell it back to the public. And this is now happening with the phone and data and internet services. It's just a fleecing of the public. It's really something that has to change. These companies are fighting it hammer, tooth, and nail, But eventually it will come down to this. You should simply need a simple internet connection. A T1, 1.5 megabit speed would be sufficient for 99.9% of most percent of all the people out there. Some people might need a little bit more, but you should be able to carry a dozen phone conversations on that T1 line. But as I said, the phone companies are blocking this. So when I say we should be thankful for communications, there are some major hurdles that have to be overcome. And I know a lot of the phone companies are really hurting the major wireless carriers. And in my opinion, I hope they all go broke tomorrow. That would be my Thanksgiving, that those phone companies simply break down and go broke. Because then out of the ashes would form a company that should provide a service to the public. And the other unfortunate part of this, of course, is that the people who work for these companies would be devastated. And, of course, all of this has been built up and this is in place. So you have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people who work for these companies who, and I happen to be a little bit familiar with this industry. That would be another sector of people who are really affected by the necessity for change. All I can say is those people have grown up and support an industry. Here's one of the problems. If you belong to Sprint, okay, Sprint has its own financial organization. It has its president and its CEO and its all of its structure. Then it has its repair crews which go out. Then it's all of its equipment and the people who support and maintain all of that. Well, that's, if you look at Sprint, Verizon, T-Mobile, and all the other companies, AT&T, they all have the same. So you have a duplication of services and manpower to support multiple networks. You're paying for that. You're paying much more if you belong to AT&T or if you belong to Verizon. You're paying much more because you belong to that company than if there was one large company. So at any rate, many, many problems in the communications industry, but it has allowed the public to communicate rapidly. And this is something that the world controllers really are trying to fight. Hillary Clinton, one of the pawns, the pawns of the New World Order, has stated that the internet is their biggest enemy. So, at any rate, on to the next topic. So, my particular thing to be thankful for on this Thanksgiving is communication. Communication between everybody in the world. And on this show, that's one thing I try and do is communicate information to people. Okay, just a quick review of the Jupiter winds. This is a topic I introduced on October 20th. I did a show, my radio show, and I concentrated on what I call the Jupiter winds. The Jupiter winds are winds on Earth created as the Earth comes into an electrical connection with the planet Jupiter. And actually this happens about once a year. The situation, Earth comes around in its orbit and we align electrically with Jupiter. But other factors are existent in the solar system. This year, Jupiter is the only thing out there for us to electrically align, and it's happening for about the past month. So you may have been in an area where there have been just constant winds, tremendous winds. And you think, well, why here? Why where I am? Or why, you know, you may hear about it, San Francisco, Colorado a couple of weeks ago. This past week, I have reports from Missouri and Arkansas where strange, very strange weather. One from Arkansas where the rain was pulsating, like it would go whoosh and then stop and then whoosh and then stop. And it was taking the people's breath away. It was scaring animals. Animals were hiding where normally they would not. So the situation is as follows. Earth has a large electrical current that passes by it in outer space. Jupiter does. I talk about this constantly on my radio show. This is the discharge of the solar capacitor. The sun has a large electrical capacitor, which drives all of the activity in the solar system. So at any rate, the point is that when Earth and Jupiter come into a somewhat linear alignment, this is, by the way, not a gravitational effect. It is strictly electrical. There are no, sometimes people say, oh, the gravitational effect of Jupiter is going to cause earthquakes. No, that's not the case at all. Never has been, never will be. So, at any rate, the electrical connection of Jupiter and Earth drives higher electrical currents past Earth, and this, in turn, works its way down. It's a very complicated electromagnetic connection effect, but it works its way down, so we have much higher, stronger weather conditions on Earth. But when these conditions, they come down, and I call it the word attachment, they attach to the upper atmosphere, and that drives weather systems down in the lower atmosphere in a specific spot. So once it attaches in your area, it'll drive the winds. That's the biggest effect that people notice. So for 3, 4, 5 days, the wind just blows. And you think, gee, what's going on here? And it's day and night. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop when the sun goes down or when the sun comes up. It just is constant. I have been in a number of these places myself. These are what I call the Jupiter winds. They're winds on Earth caused by that electrical connection with Jupiter. And so when they come down, they'll attach. We've heard of record winds in China. As I said, this past week, Arkansas, Missouri areas hit with some pretty heavy winds. The week before, Colorado, 100 plus mile an hour winds at Pikes Peak. San Francisco hit with 100 mile per hour winds. So at any rate, the Jupiter winds continue, and the question is, how long will this go on? Probably another week or possibly two, because those electrical connections, they're like a big snaking electrical pattern. It's not simply a linear connection, because the solar wind does not come out in a straight line away from the sun. It kind of curves. And so at any rate, it depends on the direction of the solar wind and the electrical connections and these snaking, whipping plasma electrical currents that occupy outer space in the vicinity of our planet. Okay, so just to review, those probably will continue for another week or so. And then after that, things should calm down. We should get back to somewhat relatively normal weather patterns, unless something else happens, of course. Just a quick side note on that the National Weather Service cannot predict these. They're somewhat random, and of course, they do not have any of this in their computer models. They don't model space weather in their computers. All they do is extrapolate from past weather patterns, and that's why the National Weather Service and all their computers and all the king's men cannot put Humpty Dumpty back together again, because they can't predict the weather because they don't know what causes the weather. Very simple. That's a phrase I developed in a long time ago. It's the chapter title of one of my books. Just another quick note. There's just new waves constantly of irresponsible journalism, people copying topics, people that are not scientists trying to make a splash with anything from Tesla to trying to talk about topics that they really don't have any information about. Very irresponsible publishing of books, very irresponsible publishing of magazine articles. A couple weeks ago I talked about the very irresponsible publication in American Free Press of an article dealing with Planet X by a person who had no knowledge of the topic, claimed he had done interviews, which he did not, talking about the Planet X topic, and very irresponsible journalism on the part of American Free Press for publishing that, not making sure that their authors are legitimate authors. What can you say? They're promoting authors who simply are not legitimate, which takes down the credibility of that journal, in my mind. I, in the background, have taken some steps to rectify that, but it's very difficult. If a journal is going to do that, I don't want to use my name and put an article in that journal to legitimize their bad journalism, if you understand what I'm saying. So it's a touchy topic. For example, there's a lot of radio shows where I will not be guest because they are not legitimate radio shows. The next person on is going to be some complete ridiculous person. And so I don't want to put my name on. There's many radio shows where I will not be guest simply because they don't have a good reputation. There's a couple exceptions. And that's because I've been with them for a long time. I'll mention one is Coast to Coast. Coast to Coast has a lot of just real ridiculous people on there. But in talking to other talk show hosts, and that they've basically told me, you know, when I go on that show, I bring my message. It's carried out to a lot of people. And people understand what's real and what's not. They'll sort it out. So at any rate, that's a show that I've been with for a very long time, and it's a show that I can get a lot of real good information out. But in general, print media, radio media, has to be very responsible about the information it puts up and very critical of the authors. There are many, many, many good authors out there, so why would you put up a charlatan? So at any rate, just a quick comment on that. There was a story that came out this past week from England. Prince Philip was in the news, and of course, Prince Philip is one of the elderly members of the royal family. And of course, as his lands, as part of his cut, so to speak, of the royal kingdom. And wind farms are growing across England. They're covering, of course, economic hard times in England are forcing many rural landowners and farmers, etc., to put in wind farms because they get paid for them. They get paid to have them placed on their property. And these are being placed, of course, by the power companies. Then you have all of the infrastructure which carries that power away to the grid and to the processing stations, where then it is added to the national allotment of electricity. The only problem is these are not producing electricity. Many of them are subsidized, and they're being actually subsidized to not produce any electricity. This is all being done on the public dole over there. The public is subsidizing this. It's estimated that the average person pays between 50 and 90 pounds per year simply to subsidize the electric, the wind electric business. But as Prince Philip points out, and I like the term he uses. I think Prince Philip has been listening to my radio show. He uses the term fairy tale, which is a term that I use, fairy tale science, standard science, that science that is presented to the public that couldn't possibly be true. The Big Bang, the concept of comets being dirty snowballs, these things couldn't possibly be true. Yet they're pawned off on the public as the best science of the day. So fairy tale science is the term I use when I refer to what I call standard science. That garbage science is pawned off on the public in every medium that you can find. But at any rate, Prince, and I will also get a kick out of this with Prince Philip, they don't start to say something until it affects them. And I put a posting on my webpage, isn't that ironic, that once it starts to affect the royal family, where they have to look at these eyesore wind farms out there, or listen to them when the wind kicks up. Remember that the three-blade wind system was designed by NASA. it was a boondoggle from the very beginning. They don't work at low wind speeds. They can't work at high wind speeds. They have to tie them down because the blades vibrate and they make a lot of noise. So they're very, and the average wind speed is probably 20 miles per hour. So these wind systems simply don't produce any energy at all. Someone convinced government agencies that putting in wind power was the solution. And so across England, across the beautiful hillsides of England, you start seeing these eyesores popping up. The problem is nobody in none of the contracts that they're writing, nobody is responsible for taking these down. What do you do with a 300-foot wind tower? How do you move it? What do you do with this thing? They're enormous. There's a place all over the globe that there are places all over the globe now where these systems that have been in for a decade or whatever are starting to go defunct, out of use. And they just sit there. Nobody, the people have taken the profits, they're gone. Nobody has been responsible for cleaning up or taking down these eyesores. So they're dotted all over the planet. It's going to take a long time for rust to take them away. So they sit there in disrepair. Birds make nests in them. And they're just simply an eyesore. So very irresponsible government, very irresponsible industry, and all with the hope of bringing green energy. As I was on Coast to Coast, in fact, talking about Coast to Coast, I did a special on Coast to Coast one night talking about the myth of alternative energy, that energy especially from wind power with the designs that are out there today, that three-blade system, is not going to produce the kind of energy when it's quoted in terms of energy. The industry leaders always boastfully quote that the maximum output of their base, their installed base, they call it, and they talk in terms of the maximum amount of energy production. That's if all the towers were running at maximum capacity, but that's rarely the case. Reality shows that the ones that are in operation run at about 20% if they're lucky. And some people think that's way overestimating the actual production of these systems, given 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, that 20% is really very high. I'd give it more like 10%, but even at 20%, these systems are extremely expensive. They're going to take 20 times longer to pay for, and they're being subsidized by you, also in the United States. But interesting that in England, Prince Philip starting to speak out because wind towers are coming to the farms around him. He has told them to keep the wind farms off his lands. And I think that's good, because somebody comes out a big name like that in the public, it gets attention. And that's what people need. The general public needs something. Whether it's in England, they pay attention to the royalty. So if one of the royalty speaks up, everybody listens. So that's in a sense, a good thing. Although I don't exactly agree with the royalty. I think those people should be given their little pension and set off. And, the queen should be, nice picture of her place somewhere, and that should be the end of the royalty. But see, they control vast, vast amounts of wealth. They own gold. They own vast amounts of the gold. All of that gold that was ripped off from the New World, that's where the gold is. The Queen of England has it. It's not in this country. In fact, a couple weeks ago, I believe I talked about Fort Knox and the efforts now to try and force an audit of Fort Knox, that there's just simply no gold there. Okay, so I'm going to start the main science topic tonight talking about slavery. And that seems to be like, gee, what a strange topic to talk about on Thanksgiving. It's not really a science topic. Well, yes, it is. In a sense, it's very much a scientific topic. the use of human labor. So what would you call how would you define slavery? In my way of viewing it, slavery is simply people living at the poverty level and one who works without personal gain. I mean, one day you make a little bit or whatever. But if you look around the world, slavery is still very much in place. The idea that someone has signed an Emancipation Proclamation 150 years ago simply changed the terminology, the actual use of those people's time. And now we are beset with a situation where one-third of the United States population is what they were calling the near poor. The people who are at right above what they define as the poverty level, which is a very artificial number. Because if you live in a city, in a northern city, you cannot live as economically as you can in, say, the southern bayous of Louisiana. The economics situation is simply different. But given that, and some statistics and some manipulation of statistics, about one-third of Americans of all races, colors, creeds are what they call the near poor. And so about a third at the poverty level in the United States. The United States is a country of poverty. It's a third world country. It's a country that is hanging on by a thread. And right now, as we head into what is typically the biggest economic part of the season, a company like, say, Best Buy, which normally does vast amounts of business at Christmas time due to Christmas sales, it's a time at which they are only hiring half as many Christmas time workers, expecting very low sales. And so the point is that people just don't have money. It's just very simple. It's been sucked dry. This country has been sucked dry. They're in debt for wars. The president is itching to get into another war with Iran. The debt is mounting beyond any fathomable amounts. The debt based on past wars and past government spending. Congress is right now every couple months has to raise the debt ceiling. The world is in economic destruction right now. But understand, this is all planned. This is not some magic economic cycle that just happens and the president is out there trying to work diligently against it. No, he's part of the problem. He works for the people who created the problem, the international banking community. His job is to present the facade that there's someone out there helping you, that he's on your side. It's all ridiculous. It's all ridiculous. There is basically no national debt. We don't owe money to invisible bankers. They don't have money. And paying interest on fictitious debt is what's going on. Most people have lack a good education on the original Constitution of the United States. Was set up to eliminate the international bankers. That's what it was all about. Taxation without representation. The monetary system of another country. The eternal wars, conscription of soldiers. Now it's done a little differently. They call it a volunteer army. All you've got to do is drive the economy down where youth don't have a job. They don't have a way to make a living. And you'll easily get 100,000 of them to sign up, to give them a $20,000 bonus. That's more money than they ever imagined. But that $20,000 doesn't come until they're done and if they're alive. It's just ridiculous. But people will sign up for it, and the parents will go along with it and think that it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So if you get 100,000, if you can fool 100,000 or 150,000 youth into joining your army, then you've got an army, and you can go about creating wars around the world and station those people. You get create terrorism so that the average person on the street thinks there's some boogeyman out there that you got to fight. And that's where we are, Thanksgiving 2011. The economic destruction of the United States is a planned event. This is not some happenstance economic cycle. In a real economy with real money, there is no economic cycle. There is no loss of value. It's just a way for the world banking community to rip off the public. So as I talk about slavery, if you look at the term slavery, what is slavery? What is it? It is living at near the poverty level or at the poverty level, working for no personal gain. And with the way taxation is, the way that works, the people have no ability to get ahead. To the idea of the American dream, that you can work hard and get ahead, simply, it's a nice thought, but that's kind of like Hollywood. Everybody goes to a movie watching the stars and dress up and you know, fabulous clothing and all of that, and that's a dream world. That's a dream world that everybody thinks that they can attain, and it's not reality. Okay, the middle class, many elderly middle class people are still working at their jobs, just hanging on. They've lost their 401k, they don't have enough to retire, insurance costs, the cost of living has skyrocketed, utilities, insurance, food, the basics have gone up to the point where they simply can't exist without continuing to work. But the point is that as those people do move to retire, it's very likely and possible that the money in their retirement accounts simply will not be there. So all of these factors contributing to the downside of what's going on. But what I want to do is convert here and talk a little bit about the positive side. That's all negative news. What can a person do out there? I got an interesting email, and I think it was mistakenly sent to me by a fan. He was trying to send it to someone else. He was talking about the cost of living and how much it costs, and he lives in apparently a southern state. I think it's one of the Carolinas. But he said the cost of living there is much lower. He was comparing it to the cost of living in one of the northern states. And so he went down the line, the cost of living there for an internet connection, for basic services, for insurance, for taxes, for the real estate for the year. All of those are very minimal. So it made me think, yeah, what people have to do is they have to seek out a retirement place where it simply is very planned. It costs them a very small amount of money, and then they have money left over. You need money over and above your basic bills. And so a lot of people want to hang on and live in that same house or whatever. And in a lot of cases, it's time to shed old things, the things that are... A lot of people stay in their house because it's full of all of their things. And at some point, it's time to say, you know, you're not going to go to your grave with all of this stuff. Why are you just staying in a house because of all of the stuff that you have? You're just paying outrageous bills to keep a place so that you can have all your stuff. You have to look around and determine what has value. And a lot of people would be much happier if they simply lived in a place, they didn't have a lot of things. There's an old Gershwin song. There is, I don't know if many people today have listened to these. There's a Broadway show called Porgy and Bess. Interesting, I should talk about that during a show talking about slavery. But it's a George Gershwin musical taking place back in the days of slavery in the South. And there's one song in there. It says, "I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. Rich man's got a lock on his door while he's out there trying to make more." It's something to that. I might have messed up a few words there. But it's it's from the musical Porgy and Bess. And that's very much the situation today. A lot of rich people live for their riches and have to protect them. I just had the opportunity to walk through a boatyard, of all things, and where a lot of boats are stored, and the big, expensive, beautiful boats, and there's an area where many of them are for sale. There's an expression regarding boats, and this is just an example of people's possessions. Whereas some people buy a boat because it's their dream, it then becomes a burden also. It becomes a very expensive burden. So a lot of people choose to live in their home, and then this extra boat item has to go. I bet that in the northern climates right now, a lot of people who have boats on loan payments are probably stopping that loan payment. I can just imagine the number of banks that are seeing that happen as November, December rolls around, as people are realizing, hey, this boat is a big expense, you know, during the year, and it's time to let it go. So the banks, I bet they're seeing record numbers of boats coming back. Boat foreclosures, I suppose you would call it, where people simply are, okay, the boat isn't going to get paid for anymore, and the banks are starting to see those loans defaulting, and the people are just like, well, that's it. Those are extra things that people simply are not going to be able to afford. So at any rate, I'm going to close this topic and move on to some actual science topics. I want to talk a little bit about the electrical conditions in the solar system. But in kind of a resolution on this idea, look at lifestyles. Every person out there has to look at their lifestyle and their ability to maintain their lifestyle and look at their happiness level. I know a lot of people have spent the last number of years calling banks, calling phone companies, calling, you know, just trying, struggling to keep their costs down. And the reality is you can't keep supporting these industries that, you know, whether it's a boat loan, whether it's a house loan, whether it's the high cost of internet in some of the northern states, and if it's the high cost of cell phone service. These companies are out there just basically fleecing the public for enormous amounts of money. And the public simply can't pay anymore. So what's going to happen? You know, go to a prepaid phone account. Go to internet that use public Wi-Fi services. If insurance on all of those things. Many people have carried insurance for many years on all types of things. Those are going to get dropped. The people can't afford it. Look at, take a piece of paper, write down all of the things that, the monthly bills, the annual bills, and look at the income and say, what's got to go here? And then just slash them. That's the only way it's going to happen. Other people are doing that. How to live within a set amount of budget and just get rid of those bills. There's another part of the phone bill where, for example, if you have cellular phones, you have to pay an outrageous amount of money to stop your service. What a ridiculous, here's a company that can't provide you with correct service, and you have to pay them hundreds of dollars to drop your line? What a ridiculous concept. I mean, you should be able to freely go to any other company any day of the week, and they require you to have a 1 or 2 year contract. And then what do? They force you to pay for a cell phone while you are paying for your monthly bill. And then in 2 years they say, oh, you've been with us 2 years, we're going to give you a discount on a new cell phone and lock you into another 2 year contract. This is just, whoever designed this form of entrapment or whoever allowed it, it's just absurd. But people are basically enslaved to paying vast amounts to these companies. And it's going to stop. People are going to say, I'm sorry. And they're just going to write it off, and they're not going to pay those bills. Because it's just the way it's going to be. So, yeah, sit down, write out a budget list, look at the bills, and start slashing. And it's going to be, the kids that are dependent on their cell phone service, unlimited talk with their friends. It's going to go away. It's going to go away. It's not going to be there. It was nice while it lasted, but that's the end of it. Okay, so lifestyle, and I also another thing I always tell people is look at resources. Don't look at money. What things do you need to live? You need a warm place to live. Hopefully you can leave the windows open all the time. You need food. You need clean water. With that, you know, make sure you have a water filter. So many places, especially in the warmer climates, the warmer states of the United States, you don't have good water. So you need a water filter. That's why I sell water filters. It's the one most important thing, most commonly used thing in my personal house, and I don't live in a warm climate. But you want to filter out fluoride and arsenic. Those are the two main very harmful chemicals that are in your water. If you get it from a municipality, they're also finding a lot of fluoride in the groundwater now. It's been poured into the city systems, and then that water goes down into the drain and into the ground, and so the fluoride is accumulating in groundwater. So if you have a well, you probably have fluoride in your water and many other chemicals, a lot of antibiotics. It's just absurd what people have poured down the drain, chemicals for cleaning, household cleaning chemicals. All of that goes down the drain. It's all in the water system. So whether you live in the country or you think you have clean water, you probably don't if you have your own well. So what I'm saying, though, going back to the concept I was trying to put out, I was saying, you know, organize your financial life so you're living within a budget. Then organize also your resources. What do you need to live? And then live on as little as you can, and then the money you have left over, you can do something. You need money to have a normal lifestyle. You can't just sit in your house and stare at the four walls and not be able to go anyplace. The two things that used to occur when someone retired was that they had their house paid off and they owned a car. Those are the two major payments. People don't have that anymore. People have refinanced their houses, some of them just for survival, just to pay off debt, to pay off other bills, and now they're strapped with a house payment that they can't afford. They can't go out and buy another house because their credit is ruined. So we have these people around the country with devastated financial conditions. Remember that the near poor and the people living in the poverty level, those are the people that register. There's probably another vast number of uncounted people who have fallen through the cracks, who don't exist on the statistics tables. And so the statistics do not include the desperate, what I would call the desperate poor, the people who have nothing. They can't get a job. They're living from who knows where, all over the country in various capacities. And this is the condition we're faced with at Thanksgiving. As the Thanksgiving Christmas season fails, apparently the biggest shopping day is the tomorrow, the day after Thanksgiving. And I think the stores are simply going to be putting, you'll see a lot of sales, let's put it that way. But the point is that the economic conditions, as we approach Christmas 2011 and afterwards, the entire country is going to go into a spiral. The only way some sectors are going to continue is through if there's another war. And that's one thing I noticed that was interesting. I've seen politicians talk recently. And once again, I heard Dick Cheney say this once during the Bush administration, and then there's other politicians saying this now. Their comment is, I don't know what people are talking about. Everybody I know is doing just great out there. Well, who do they know? They know the people that are selling products in the war industry. Who does a congressman know? He knows lobbyists that represent companies that are on the public, getting money for public support of war efforts. That's the biggest industry today in the United States. And it's all, they're standing in a line outside the government office in Congress. And so that's who the congressmen know. And they think, gee, the economy's just doing great out here. I don't know what people are talking about. And of course, they're living in the ivory tower, never, never land, where the money just doesn't stop flowing. Because it's flowing out, and this is all coming in on loans, loaned, borrowed money. So their vision is that everybody's doing just great. Everybody they know is doing fine. They've got their boat in a nice big sailboat or big power boat down in the Bahamas, and they're going down there for you know, a nice big lunch and maybe a few days in a resort based on some company's contribution or whatever. These people are doing just wonderful. So that's their view of the world. But the rest of the population is just crumbling into disaster. Okay, I wanted to talk a little bit about the electrical conditions in the solar system. Back to the Jupiter effect, the winds will continue. So I encourage people, as you're looking at local weather, also keep an ear open for those wind systems that will continue probably for another week, and then they'll probably pretty much be over. I believe it was the 28th of October that was the actual physical linear alignment of Jupiter and Earth. So for about a month before that date and a month afterwards, that's when those Jupiter winds can kick in, attached to an area near you or somewhere else in around the world, and you can get reports of this just by looking up severe winds, and you can go to internet sites that will lead you to where the severe winds are, tropical weather, etc. Also remember, this is about the last time to order and be assured that your items would be delivered by Christmas. So visit the webpage jmccsci.com. That's seven letters, jmccs as in Sam, c as in Charlie, I as in indigo.com, jmccsci.com. And then also the weekly radio show archive there, commercial free. So I took a little bit of diversion on this show from our standard science topics. Those people that are new, go to that webpage, listen to the past archives. All of the shows are still valid. And we'll see you next week with possibly a special guest. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.